Welcome, all of you fellow Arcanists out there, to the Frith Guild podcast, where we explore an amazing world full of mystical creatures and their partners. Our hosts are Eric Smith and Scott Wareham, and today we'll be going behind the scenes of the Chamois Duval fandom to talk with K.N. Sear, also known as Kevin, the moderator of Chamois Capital Station Discord channel. So without further ado, here are Eric, Scott, and K.N. Sear.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Frith Guild podcast, where today we will be diving into an interview, and I'm the host, Eric.
I'm co-host Scott.
And hi, I'm the guest.
And today we have Kane on the show today for...
Okay, just for everyone who's listening or watching this, wherever you're getting this, Eric, before he started this recording, he warned me he was going to mess up the pronunciation a lot. So don't worry if you guys get confused about what he says for my name. But hi, I'm Kevin. I'm also known as Ketel Saren, or as my pen name would suggest, K.N. Sear. I am a up-and-coming author of my own original series, but I am also a fan of Chamois Duval's Frith Chronicles series and Academy Arcanist series.
Is it Arcanist, Arcanist, or how is it set? Is it supposed to be pronounced?
I don't know. I'm just like, it's either Arcanist or however else you pronounce it.
I looked down it south, up. If you say caramel wrong, they get up on you.
Oh my God. Thank God. I've not been outside of my estate yet.
I found both, because when I first heard Eric say it, Arcanist, I was like, have I been saying this wrong? So yeah, I looked it up and I found both pronunciations. So I don't think it's set.
I personally think that however you say the word is however you say the word. So if you have one way of saying the same word and someone else saying the other, then does it really matter? Yeah, it's still the same word.
No.
So one of the reasons that we brought on K.N., hopefully that was close enough, is as the mod for the Frith Guild Chronicles Discord channel. So we did want to kind of delve into that role a little bit. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you do as a mod there?
Well, moderators on the Capital Station Discord, I really think it's just like in any Discord server, really, is we're mainly just there to kind of help keep the peace in some cases. I don't know if either of you two know this, or possibly anyone who taps into the podcast would know this, but when the server first started, there was a really big fan of Chamois Duval's Frith Chronicles series, the original series that kind of catapulted Chamois writing into popularity that it is right now. And he kind of started this, I'm not sure if it's a he or a she, so I'm just going to go with gender, the pronouns like he, they, them, just to keep it. They had brought up like this whole like grand master inquisitor stuff when the Discord first jumped, and that kind of became the role of a moderator the entire Discord. Sadly, that person is no longer part of the Discord server, mainly because a lot of the things that was going on then got a bit too much for other people who were part of the Discord. So basically, like I just said, we're just peacekeepers.
Now, is that something that Chamois reached out to you about? Was that something you reached out to her about? How do you kind of get to that point? I mean, not saying that I want to jump in right now, but I'm just curious about behind the scenes. Never really thought about it until now.
Yeah. Moderators like myself, a little bit behind the scenes is I was actually one of the first moderators on the server, because I was also one of the first people who joined Chamois Discord when she announced it on Twitter, which is now called X. And it comes down to everything going on. I was one of the first people, and I became a moderator because I wanted to help Shammy kind of keep things even, keep things just good.
And did Shammy reach out to you? Did you reach out to her?
I reached out to her, also helped like a channel. It's hidden from the public. It's just me and Shammy in it. And it's labeled actions, so both her and I kind of just know what everyone's doing. It's like a general overall. But okay. Both her, we have the channel muted, so we don't get pings every time someone does something, deletes something, yada, yada, yada.
I'm going to be blowing up if you did.
Yeah, those notifications go up.
I don't know if you want that many notifications going on.
Nope. I would not.
Are you a mod for any other channels before this? Is this kind of your first introduction to moderating?
Actually, no. Before I joined the Discord for Capital Station, I actually owned a few servers. And I still own those servers. They're still there on Discord, but they're not that active because I just don't have a lot of time to, you know, jump right into everything. But essentially, no, this is not my first time moderating.
I'm sure it's helpful to have some experience, at least knowing how to gauge a situation, how to interact with people when you need to.
That is true. It is helpful. But at the same time, like, if this is going to be your first time moderating, my first advice is do not rush it. Take your time. And if you are stuck on something, just ask someone who is a senior moderator or higher. Sometimes they can give pretty good advice.
So what is the ranking of moderators? I didn't realize there was like a... Is there an official senior and junior rank, or is it just
not,
kind of unofficial with who you work with?
Not in the Capital Station Discord. I think it's just all of us as a moderator, like me, Leland Green, and the other person too. I think it was Sparkstone that was the other one. No, it's just all of us are the same rank as moderator. Then you have Shammy as the owner. I'm not sure what rank we can classify St. Brian here. I don't think we know.
So getting into Shammy's books and her work, as far as the Frith Chronicles go, I'm just kind of looking to see, how did you get into her series, and, you know, how did you discover Shammy Stovall's works?
Honestly, I'd have to say it was through the Kindle Unlimited library at the time, and it popped up on my recommended feed. Because I am a big, big reader of stories like He Who Fights With Monsters by Shirtaloon or Travis Deverell, or Blessed Time series by Kale Plamen. And I highly do recommend reading those books if you have the chance to, because they are very good stories. But I picked up book one and I read through it and I'm like, this story has pirates in it, and it's somewhat reminiscent of Pokemon to me, even though I've never watched the series, I've never played the trading card game.
What?
Yes, I know, I'm a heathen in that way.
You're a unicorn.
Essentially, I read the books, beginning of the series to the end of the series, through Kindle Unlimited, and... wow, just wow, like it really kind of gave that vibe I just enjoy reading in the story.
So kind of the always the question is, what mystical creature would you bond with in this series? I mean, there's so many to choose from. Yeah, I it's so hard to ask you one.
I don't know which one I would bond for.
What's your list?
Okay, let me be clear on this one. As soon as I read Nightmare Arcanist, which I'm sorry to all you podcast listeners here, but I have something only for the video people that are gonna watch this. So I'm sorry if I'm just reaching way out of camera for this. I actually have the physical edition book, Nightmare Arcanist. I have Nightmare Arcanist, I have Dread Pirate, and Colosseum Arcanist. And also, drum roll please. They're also signed by the author herself. Awesome. So, yeah. So when I first read the books on Kindle Unlimited, because you know that's where this whole thing started with me from day one, was these phoenixes. They were the first mythical creature mentioned. They were literally in chapter one's title. If I have to say anything, out of the many different species of creatures you can bond with, my top two are phoenixes and the nightmares.
I can get behind that, definitely.
Yeah, because you gotta go with the classic ones, the ones that were first introduced right from the start. There's just no way you can disrespect those boys. You know, we got those phoenixes, we got those nightmares, and the lore behind those nightmares, seriously, they were so entertaining to read.
It's a very interesting backstory, and the lore behind the nightmares is very interesting, specifically, you know, tied in with some of the Fableverse that they talk about, and you know, never able to go extinct, but also never going to be in population, just because they, you know, require the death of a ruler. So it is something very unique to the series, and just very cool to look into and just think about.
This is going to be a not spoiler free episode, kind of just letting loose a little bit. So, you know, not too worried about spoilers. We'll definitely make sure we put a very large, you know, in all caps, spoilers, just for those that may not have read past the second book. But like in Colosseum, at the end of Colosseum, where Jean gets killed, and I'm like, oh my gosh, before I even read it, I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's gonna become a nightmare.
I was waiting for it as well. As soon as, you know, the scene started, Nicolin's a great one as well, and another, you know, unique creature that. Yeah. A lot of amazing powers that would come with it as well. So very, very interesting story there as well.
And I like that she didn't focus on the usual ones. Like, granted, phoenixes are more well commonly known, but like the unicorns and Pegasus and, you know, those kinds of things. I like she didn't focus on the ones that we knew about. She invented and made new ones and got us excited about these new ones, especially, you know, the nightmares, the Rizzles, the mimics. I mean, all these different types of dragons that she's got, you know, I love that everything focuses on and other things and not your normal, you know, fable creature.
But what surprises me though, is while mimics, in the Frith Chronicle series tend to be like these just little creatures that can mimic other people's powers, sets, and abilities. I think she might have derived the concept of a mimic from Dungeons and Dragons.
Because, that's the case.
That is the case. Then I have to give a very good. I have to give a very good applause for Shammy to do that, because the way that this universe, this world she created. I mean, yeah, it definitely lives up to the hype of Pokemon meeting Harry Potter. No one's wielding wands. No one's going to Ollivander's to pick up. Point being, no one's going to pick up their wands in Frith Chronicles, which definitely is a nice refreshing turn from, you know, the mainstream media that we've been getting of, you know, Harry Potter, Fantastic Beasts, all these other big franchise series going on.
When they delve so far into, you know, the wands and, you know, this, that, and the other, that it's just like it's so repetitive, and it's hard to do something new and fresh, because it's okay, you have to use a wand for magic, and here's the same creatures from Harry Potter and, you know, from Fantastic Beasts. They use those exact same ones we've seen a million times, you know, over and over in the films. Whereas, you know, she's literally just, she can keep adding whatever she wants.
Are there a specific guild that interested you? I know there's a variety. There's blacksmithing. There's some that are more focused on defense, research, kind of spread out over the place. Is there a place where you feel like you would fit in?
I probably would go with the OG guild itself, Frith, because I like adventure. I like, you know, going to these new places and just getting that sense of where everything has, like, these new cultures, new experiences and the such.
It is absolutely enchanting. It does very unique experience. I agree. I would be definitely drawn into the adventure as well. It's the research, while interesting, just feels like something I probably could do here. So I'm looking for something a little more unique to the fantasy realm.
If you had to pick one book out of the Frith Chronicles, Astra, even Crown Tournament, which of the books is your, like, ride or die? Like, this is your favorite?
I just have to say the very first book I picked up, really. I have to give the love to the Nightmare Arcanist book, because it's the book that introduced everything of this world of chamois to me, and it's that gateway where it leads into everything else that's set in this universe. That's including the Academy Arcanus series.
Colosseum, I could be wrong, but...
No, Colosseum is definitely up there. There's a couple other ones I could make a strong argument for, but I think the whole Sovereign Dragon Tournament is just so interesting and so fascinating that one is top of the list for me.
And I think one of the things that I can't speak enough about with Shami Sovol's books is she doesn't give you the expected at the end of the book. Like, again, you know, spoilers here, but with Crown, at the end of Crown Tournament, when they were fighting for the Sovereign Dragon to bond with the Sovereign Dragon, I'm like, oh man, like, she's going to come back and she's going to win this fight. She's going to kill him. And then she gets killed. And I'm like, what in the world is going on with this? Just that, like, nightmare, the second chapter, third chapter with the bonding ceremony of Volk goes and he gets his charberry. He cleans it off. Forsythe actually picks his charberry. And then you're like, okay, he's got to do the knowledge portion and he's crushing it. Even with the difficult, you know, questions he's getting, you know, outside of the last two steps, he didn't know.
The only issue I have with that, Eric, the entirety of that part with Vol in that scene where he's running through that test, get a chance to bond with a phoenix, is how duplicitous those people were to a young man who had no knowledge whatsoever of where he came from, who his parents were, and his only friend being the quote-unquote sister of the family. And they were making him into such a rebellious kid that couldn't possibly have a chance to bond with a phoenix. I feel like, yes, Shami did a pretty good job of doing that, but those kids, though, they did our boy dirty with that.
I would. Yeah. It's a difficult scene, and there are places where, you know, you could argue, I think, both ways. I thought it was very well done, because there are things where, you know, the slightest thing can be held against you. And even though Volk's was something with his family and who he grew up with and being raised by a gravekeeper, and those were out of his control, it was still him, you know, overcoming these obstacles and being in a town where that is all held against him for no reason.
You know, with him being so bold to at least try to go bond with the phoenix, that there's that moment of like, oh my gosh, like, this is the main character. He's going to bond with this phoenix. Like, it's going to happen. And then he gets, you know, shamed off the stage. And there was that moment of like, oh my gosh, like the main character didn't get the Phoenix, didn't get the main mystical creature that's on this island. Like, what kind of crazy writing is this? This doesn't happen, honest, I feel like.
When I first read that scene, when I first picked up the book, I was so annoyed with everybody else in that scene, because you, as the reader, you know that this is the main character we're talking about. This is the person who is basically the prodigal son of heaven, if this was like a cultivation novel. And you guys just did this kid dirty because you did not believe for a second he should be worthy to bond with a Phoenix. And then you guys start making it sound like he's an idiot. That he literally has no right to bond with a Phoenix. That annoyed me so much.
Well, and don't get me wrong, it absolutely did with me as well. Absolutely furious with Schoolmaster. And you know, to add insult to injury with the Schoolmaster, he's not even bonded with a mystical creature. So outside of the Frith Chronicles, what other books do you kind of delve into? Are you typically a fantasy person? Do you delve into like lit RPG?
Enough. I tend to lean towards the lit RPG scene, but I'm not too heavily into the modern setting. Because, you know, it's modern. We live in a modern world. We're 21st century people. We're, you know, just living in the age of information. We got all this happening. So why do I need to read about modern things in a book that is pure fiction? I would rather read something that has either post-apocalyptic settings or system apocalypse, you know, where an apocalypse is triggered because of the system has come to our world and introduced something that has either long been forgotten or just no longer there. Or just pure fantasy, where, you know, there's these fantastical worlds full of magic or other things there.
Do you have any particular author that you prefer over? Or, you know, your top authors, but, you know, hey, these are definitely authors I would recommend, kind of.
I'll put Shammy Stovall immediately in the top three. Another one is one that I mentioned just earlier on in this interview was Shirtaloon, or Travis Deverell, who wrote the He Who Fights with Monsters series, which is currently also available on Amazon, Kindle, and Kindle Unlimited. I'm not afraid to help out other authors by shamelessly plugging their stuff in. Again, also Blessed Time by Kale Playman, which is set in a fantasy world and has time loops and systems. So if you like time loops and stuff, you can go read his work too. Any other novels I particularly like? Going off from the lit RPG stuff, there is a trilogy of books that I adored reading in school, and I mean in high school. And it's set in the world of Gilnor. To those of you who do not know what I'm speaking of the RuneScape Trilogy series by T.S. Church, and it's set before the times that is within the actual game of RuneScape, which is developed by Jagex.
There's a backstory to RuneScape?
Well, this story isn't technically official canon because The game came before the books. This is just basically one person's interpretation of what's happened before the game began.
Okay.
More of a prequel type series.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're also working on books yourself. You want to go ahead and talk about some of that for us?
Sure, I can. So, what I'm writing is my debut project. It's my main project. I've been working on this for over 4 years. And my first book, which is, I'm not going to reveal the title yet because I plan on announcing that in October. But to those of you who already know my thing, which I highly doubt anyone listening to this podcast would know, is it's up on my Patreon. All of the chapters for the first book are all up there. But for the books that's going to be published, they are going to have new content and some points where it's a bit better and has other points where it helps explain certain things that you might not just want Wikipedia up. Point of the book is to kind of help explore the world of Earth and another world that's tied to it, which I'm not going to reveal because that's spoilers. But over the course of the entire series, from the very first book to the very last book, I plan on taking the reader through other worlds that could be more scientifically developed or more magically developed.
Okay.
But I'm not starting with Infinity Stone Saga. I'm starting in Multiverse Saga.
So, and you said October. Do you have a solid date yet or just October so far?
No, I would say October for like one of the earliest, but I plan on releasing the first book to Amazon sometime late this year. Oh, before we move on from that part, I do want to mention, forewarn, that my entire series and other works all have LGBTQIA+ characters and side relationships. So if you're not a big fan of male-male romance or anything involving the LGBTQ community, you don't need to read the book. I just feel like if you're going to be reading a book, sure, you can read a book, but I don't want to get slammed.
Well, at least there's that like understanding that if you're going to read this book, there it is in there, and if you choose to not want to say, participate or you don't particularly care for that community, then, you know, like you said, it's not the book for you, and, you know, you can find something else for yourself.
Yeah, because I put a lot of passion into these books that I've been writing, and I already said I took 4 years to do it, so I don't think I need to say more.
Right?
Mona Lisa of books.
What?
I believe that was another 4 year, or maybe not, but another long, long project to go through.
We've only been doing this for 3 months. I started back in November. Scott, when did you come on?
It would have been December or January. It's only been a couple months.
Mm-hmm. So we're still fairly new into this, and you know, and that's a comparison to time with how long it took your book. So, and definitely can tell the passion in that.
Well, no matter how much time you put into it, as long as you have made it clear that you are very passionate about your work and you really want to make it into the best work you can for readers to read, then that's all you need. You just need to make sure that you have the passion to write your book. Any other author will tell you, you write what you want. That's the same advice I give, is you write what you want. Because what you want is going to have all that passion, that drive to get it right.
Now, as far as, and again, because you said you haven't published yet for any of your books, correct?
None of my current projects have been published to Amazon yet.
Okay. So as far as somebody else in your position that or even somebody that's debated it or thought about writing, what else would you say? What else would you advise to a newer, you know, somebody that's thinking about getting into writing?
All I really just want to make sure is, if you're wanting to write something and you feel like it's a really good story, then go ahead and write it. Treat it as like, this is your rough draft. This is something that you just want to go ahead and put to paper. See, and as you write, just keep in mind, you're your own worst critic. That means you don't need to let yourself bring yourself down. Just try to reason out what would be the best possible way to bring this forward to your reader. Like, you could say, oh, I don't like this bit, I don't like that bit. Then, if you still like that bit, like you really think it has some kind of potential, when you go back through to do your final draft of the book, you take that part that you don't like and revise it. If you still like that in your final draft, keep it. If you don't, toss it. Because every story ever written or ever will be written is going to go through numerous trials, numerous errors and edits before it's perfect enough for both you and the readers to enjoy. Kind of like when Shammy Stovall probably watched the episode of Pokemon and be like, I'm going to write the Frith Chronicles series.
Right. Yeah. I could only imagine how many times she, you know, edited and rewrote and revised.
Yeah.
And it's always easier.
I imagine even George Lucas, when he was writing Star Wars, probably did the same thing too. Just kept on going.
Yeah. It's always easier to edit something that's written down than to edit a blank page. So, you know, anywhere you start is going to be a good spot, and then it's just taking it from there and revising it until it's, like you said, where you want it to be.
So now we're going to move into the selfish plugs. Go ahead and get your plugs out there, where we can find you at, where all that good stuff.
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter/X at KNSeer, which is just KYEN_SYR. And you can also find me on Discord. I am one of the moderators on the Capital Station Discord. So if you find me there, you'll find me there. I also own a Discord server called the Eternal Archive. You can find links to my Discord through my Royal Road Stories, which also houses the stories that I write, like my main project, which is known as the Lord of Creation series. That is not the name of the first book, by the way. That is the name of the series. I'm just usually on Twitter, Discord.
And then to get to your Patreon, is that on your Discord? Or as far as
It is also on my Discord. It's in my bio, so it'll be patreon.com/eternalarchive. And that's all one word, Eternal Archive, because obviously Patreon is, you know, Patreon.
Thank you all for listening today. You can be found on Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, pretty much anywhere podcast is available. Again, YouTube is getting kind of bigger, so if you guys want to hop on over and watch the interview, we're definitely going to be on there. Please like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. I know it's, you know, the usual plugs here, but again, getting comments, you know, it's always great to hear from everybody and see that you guys are enjoying the podcast and all that good stuff. So we do really appreciate it. And starting next week's episode, we are starting to Coliseum Arcanist. I know I'm super excited about getting into that book, and it's going to be a very, I don't say long, but a very fun adventure, because as we've been doing these, as far as 5 chapter episodes, looking ahead, I saw that there's 60 chapters in total. So there will be plenty of podcasts or plenty of episodes on Colosseum. So we'll definitely be getting into that next week. And we thank everybody for listening. We're also, you can find us at on Facebook for Frith Guild Podcast. And if you'd like to send us a question, you can either on Facebook or our email is frithguildpod@gmail.com. And Scott, do you have anything to add?
Like I said, like, comment, subscribe.